You are listening to the Sunnybrook Community Church Podcast. To learn more about Sunnybrook Church, including our Sunday gathering times and opportunities throughout the week, visit us online at sunnybrookchurch.org. Today's talk comes from Pastor Jeff Mose.
We're starting a brand new series together. It's going to last about 4 weeks, and we've entitled it Love and Marriage. Now, here's what I need you to do. I need you to participate this morning by raising your hand, and I just want you to kind of play along with me for a moment, if you will. I'm going to start with you ladies. How many of you ladies, at one point in time when you dreamt about marriage, you thought to yourself, I'm going to have this beautiful wedding, I'm going to look really nice in this gown, my husband is going to carry me across the threshold of our house together, and every night he's going to give me a foot massage. How many of you dreamt that's what your marriage would be like? Go ahead and raise your hand. Guys, let me ask you this. How many of you dreamt one day that when you got married, you'd have sex twice a day, three times on Sunday? Raise your hand. Here's my biggest question for all of you today. How many of you are still dreaming? Every single one of us, ain't so? Because here's the reality. We set up all of these expectations with regards to marriage, and when they don't happen, when our spouse doesn't live up to them, there's frustration, there's anger, there's bitterness, there's separation, and sometimes there's even divorce. And some of you have gone through some pain in relationships before, saying to yourself this morning, I'm not even sure a good marriage is even possible. I'm here to tell you emphatically, it is. But it isn't going to happen if you are doing things the way the world is doing them. You got to do things in a different fashion. The stats in the world today are about 50% of all marriages end in divorce. If you get married at a younger age, those statistics are even worse. And out of the 50% that stay married, the overwhelming majority have a lack of intimacy, or they're just hanging in there for the sake of the kids. And think about it for a moment. In any area of your life, would you take sort of a 50-50 chance? If I said to you, eating that cereal every single morning is going to cause cancer in your life, you'd say, about a 50-50 shot, then here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to eat a different cereal. If I said to you, there's about a 50-50 shot that if you place your money in this stock, you're going to lose it all, you'd say, listen, then I'll choose a different stock. If I said to you, there's about a 50-50 shot that if you walk outside of this building today, you're going to get struck by lightning, you'd stay in the building, wouldn't you? Because most of us are just not that willing in areas of our life to take sort of a 50-50 shot, yet that's exactly what's happening with regards to marriage. Almost every single person that gets a driver's permit here in Iowa has the opportunity to take a class. There's a sense in which you need to prepare for it. But did you know you can get a marriage license in the state of Iowa for $35 and no preparation whatsoever? So today I want to speak to those you are thinking about getting married, and I want to speak to those you are already married, and I want to try to sink some roots as to where you and I should go together. Because I don't know about you, but I remember the very day that I got married, I grabbed Beth by the hands, and we stood in front of a pastor. In fact, if I could just say a word to those of you who are thinking about get married in a church and get married by a pastor. Because in all honesty, you're not just making a contract, you're actually making a covenant before God. And Beth and I stood in front of a pastor one day, and I remember saying, I, Jeff, take you, Beth, to have and to hold. And then we used this key line, from this day forward. I want to use that line all throughout this series together, from this day forward. In other words, I don't care what happened in the past. What we're talking about in this series together is all about this from this day forward. Because many are going to say to me, but you don't understand my husband. You don't understand my wife. You don't know what we've done in the past. You don't know how much frustration there is in our marriage. Ooh, from this day forward, we're going to do it in a different fashion. If we expect something different, then from this day forward, we're going to do it different than the world around us. So I, Jeff, take you, Beth, to have and to hold from this day forward, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, forsaking all others. And then we said this, so help us God. Now, it's not said in a declaration or even in anger, so help me God. It's actually a question. So, would you help us, God? Would you recognize together that we can't do this on our own? So, God, could you come and could you help us? Now, as we walk through this series, we're going to have a four-part series together, and each week we're going to deal with a different commitment. So here's what I'm going to ask you to commit to. Today, we're going to talk about the fact that you are to seek God. Secondly, then, we're going to talk about the fact that you're to fight fair. Thirdly, we're going to talk about the idea of never giving up. And then fourthly, we're going to talk about the idea of staying pure. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to just kind of go with me, and I want you to say these out loud. Here's the four commitments that we're going to make together in this series. First of all, we are going to seek God. Secondly, we are going to fight fair. Thirdly, we're going to never give up. And then fourthly and finally, we are going to stay pure. Now, today I want to talk about this idea of seeking God, because in all honesty, when we get married, we don't often think about seeking God. You know what we think about? We think about seeking the one. In fact, the advice of the world around us is if you find the one, the perfect woman, the perfect man, if you can just simply find the one, you'll live happily ever after together. So in our dating days, we say, well, he's kind of handsome, she's kind of pretty, she smells nice, he's pretty smart. And we say, in effect, listen, I found the one. Can I just remind you today that nobody I've ever heard says the truth about this when they say, hey, listen, I found the two. Because in our relationship, our spouse is never number one. Who's to be number one in the life of believers? God. So here's the line I want you to use. God is your one and your spouse is your number two. In other words, all throughout marriage, relationship that you have, I'm going to say, in effect, God, you are my one. I'm going to pursue you. I'm going to live in earnest devotion to you. And then I'm going to expect that my next relationship out of that is going to be my relationship with my spouse. But God, you have first place in my life. Do you remember Jesus when he was asked to sort of sum up all of the Old and the New Testament? Can you give us the cliff notes? He says, here's what I want you to do. I want you to love who? Your spouse with all your soul, mind, and strength? No. I want you to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. This is the first and greatest commandment, he says, and the second is like unto it. You to love your neighbor as yourself. That God's going to have first place in your life, and then your spouse, those that are around you, are going to have second place as well. Now, I want to speak to two groups this morning. The first of them is if I want to speak to those you're hoping to get married. Now, if you're here today and you're dating somebody, you're thinking about getting married one day, could you just sort of raise your hand? Keep them up for a moment. Look around, because I'd love to be a matchmaker. Maybe you could name your firstborn son Jeff, because I brought the two of you together. But here's the reality, and I want you to repeat this statement with me. I will seek the one while I'm preparing for my two. I will seek the one while I'm preparing for number two. Isn't it possible that somehow you could make a decision all throughout my life while I'm waiting on the Lord and his perfect timing and bringing the right person in my life? Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to seek the Lord. I'm going to make a commitment to seek first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness. Then I'm going to trust the things that I've worried about, that of giving me a spouse, the right person in my life. He's going to add to that as well in his time. But I'm first and foremost going to seek God. Now, isn't it true that a lot of people say they're followers of Jesus, they're Christians, but they say to themselves, in effect, hey, listen, in these early years of my life, I got some wild oats that I need to sow. I mean, I need to go to pursue my own desires. There'll be plenty of time to give God first place in my life. There'll be plenty of time for me to think about the God thing or the church thing. But right now, I'm going to go out and I'm going to enjoy life. Pastor Andy Stanley tells a story about a young girl that was in his church that made a decision she was going to do that very thing. She said she was a follower of Jesus, but she was headed to college and she wanted to have fun. So she began with peer pressure around her to drink more and more. Then eventually she experimented with drugs. Then she began with promiscuity, one guy after another, until eventually she didn't even recognize who she was. And one day, the story goes, she went to a gathering and she met this guy she thought was absolutely perfect. He was godly, he was a leader, he discipled other people. It was exactly the kind of person that she wanted to marry. And she went home and she told her mother, "Hey, Mom, I think I've met the one. Here's what this guy is like. Here's who I want to marry. He's perfect for me." And her mother said to her in a very sweet, kind voice, "Hey, honey, can I be honest with you? A guy like that, he's not looking for a girl like you." Can you imagine what a gut punch that was? A guy like that is not really looking for a girl like you. Isn't it true that like attracts like? And if you and I want to marry a godly person in our lives, then here's the reality. You and I got to be godly in how we live. You and I got to pursue God. So those you are dating, those you're not married, here's what I would say to you. Be the kind of person that you want to marry. Be the kind of person that you want to marry. If you want to marry a godly individual, then you be a godly individual. If you want to marry somebody that pursues after God, then you pursue after God. Otherwise, if you're okay with somebody that slept with 20 different partners, otherwise, if you're okay with about 50-50 odds, then go ahead and do what the rest of the world is doing. But I want to encourage you in your life to seek the one while you're preparing for your two. Then secondly, I want to speak to those you're already married. And here's what I would say. I will always seek the one with my two. I will always seek the one with my two. Now, isn't it true that we often think to ourselves, hey, listen, if I could just find that perfect match, that perfect person. And isn't it true we put sort of this undue pressure on them? We think, and you'll often see it on Instagram and Facebook, hey, I met my perfect person. This person is my everything. This person completes me. And we put incredible pressure on a human being, sinful human beings, that do not have the ability to meet every single need that we have. Only God can do that. And isn't it true at some points in times, especially when we're dating, we begin to idolize the person that we're thinking about marrying? And then when we get married, we no longer idolize them, we actually demonize them. Here's how it works. See if this has ever been true in your life. We look at the woman we're about to marry and we say, hey, she is so driven, she's so purposeful, she's such a leader. We idolize them. And then when we get married, we say, man, she's got to have it her way. She is so controlling. All she does is nag, nag, nag. We idolize and then we demonize. Ladies, isn't it true when you're dating, you often idolize the man you're about to date? He is so easygoing. He's so comfortable. He gets along with everybody. And then you get married, and all of a sudden you demonize him. Hey, he's nothing but a bump on the log. I mean, this guy doesn't have an opinion about anything. All he does is play video games all day long. We idolize, and then we demonize. See, here's what I want to say to you. You've got to always seek the one with your number two. How do you do that? Well, let me give you some very practical thoughts. The first of them would be this. Make a commitment in your married life that every single Sunday you're going to be here in church. I'm going to come with my spouse. We're going to sit under the teaching of the Word. We're going to gather together, and we're going to worship because God inhabits the praises of His people. And if God can inhabit me and inhabit my spouse, there's going to be a difference that's made in our lives. So we're going to make a priority every single Sunday. We're coming to church. Then when you get comfortable with that, I'd say make a commitment, and we talked about it last week, to find a small group of people that you can study with, you can pray with, you can hold each other accountable. You can encourage each other. Find a small group. Like-minded people, maybe that just got married because you just got married. Maybe they've got kids like you have kids. Maybe they're sort of sunsetters in life like you are, and you're looking for like-minded people, and you're going to gather together on a regular basis in a small group with fellow believers that have the same goals in mind. For others of you, maybe you're going to make a commitment. Hey, here's what we're going to do. We're going to serve together. We're going to serve in the Hope Center. We're going to serve in the youth ministry. We're going to serve in the children's ministry. Because I'm convinced there's something that happens inside of us when you and I sense God using us together as a couple. You've got stories to share when you get home, and it just sort of catapults and grows your faith because you're serving together. Maybe down the line, you'll be ready to get into the Word together. Maybe just read one portion of Scripture together and talk about it. But can I tell you from my perspective, one of the keys to marital relationships, seeking God, seeking your one with your number two, I would say this, pray together. Could you just find a few moments in your day, and it doesn't have to be long, where you would actually pray together? There's a book entitled The Power of Habits. And in there, he talks about what are known as keystone habits. In other words, these are key habits in our life that catapult us toward better things. They move us. They give us momentum toward greater things. And when they're not done, they give us momentum that pulls us back from the very thing that we desire. The writer of the book says a keystone habit for him is to floss his teeth, that if he flosses his teeth, he eats better, he exercises more, he does everything just a little bit better. That's a keystone habit for him. I thought about it in my own life. You know what a keystone habit is for me? Is to drink black coffee. I love cream, but I'm trying to do that intermittent fasting thing where you eat from 12 to 7, and I find if I drink black coffee, I haven't had any calories yet, now all of a sudden I feel just a little bit better. I work out a little bit harder. I eat a little bit better throughout the day, and then I go to bed at night, not on a full stomach because I stopped at 7, and now I sleep a little bit better, and when I sleep a little better, I work a little bit harder, my mood's just a little bit better. For me, it's this keystone habit. So here's what I would say to you. How do we seek God? Well, the critical thing is this. We've got to pray together every single day. Somehow make this a keystone habit in your life where you make a decision, even if it's just for a couple of minutes before you leave the door, even if it's just for a couple of minutes before you go to bed at night, we're going to make a decision, we are going to pray together. This is going to be a keystone habit in our life that's going to catapult us to greater and greater things. The scripture says this in 2 Chronicles. The chronicler writes, "If my people, that's you and me who know Christ as our Savior, would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways." Then he says, listen, I'll hear from heaven, I'll forgive their sins, and I'll heal their land. I think we could say the same thing about marriage. If my people who are called by my name would humble themselves as a couple and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I'll hear from heaven, I'll forgive their sin, and I'll heal their marriage. Now, can I give you some incredibly practical things with regards to marriage? If you are a dating couple and you want to put this habit into your life of beginning to pray, here's what I would say to you. Don't pray laying down. There's a sense in which prayer creates intimacy and it leads to other things. So I would say, if you're not married yet, pray sitting up, put a table between the two of you, and go ahead and pray together. If you're a married couple, go ahead and pray together. It might lead to other things, and then guys are very interested at that point in time, but do so. And then here's what else I'd say. Make it as simple as you possibly can. Set yourself up that there wouldn't be failure. Set yourself up that you're willing to come back to it the next day. I've said this to before to couples, but one of the best ways to start praying, if it's very uncomfortable for you, is to just join hands and pray silently. So you're heading to bed at night, and you say, hey, honey, let's just hold hands and let's pray together. And you just pray silently. And then when you're done, you squeeze the other person's hand, and then you're finished. Eventually what happens is one of you blows it and prays out loud, and now you're starting to pray out loud together. But here's what I would say. Keep it incredibly simple, and I say this especially to you ladies. Can I be honest, ladies? Most men from my counseling days are intimidated by your spiritual maturity. They just are. So if you have an opportunity to pray and you wax eloquent for 10, 15 minutes, guess what your husband is to say? Ditto. That's good for both of us. I'm not interested in following that up. So I would say just keep it very short. Keep it very simple. But find a time in the day when you can begin to pray together. Maybe you text each other prayers. Maybe you email each other prayers. I remember one time Beth texted me and just said, I know you got a hard day, I'm praying for you. It means the world to a guy. And just find some time in your day, maybe early morning, maybe late at night, maybe all you're going to do is pray before a meal. And here's how simple it can be. God, thanks for my spouse. Thanks for my kids. Thanks for this food. Amen. Putting that sort of a simple habit in your life can be a difference maker. And I want to encourage you to somehow do so, because here's what it is for every single one of us. It's a keystone habit. In other words, it leads to better things. Here's what I found. People that pray together are more likely to attend church together. People that pray together are more likely to engage in a small group. People who pray together are more likely to study the Word, to serve in the body of Christ together. All kinds of good things begin to happen. And on the negative, I would say this. People who pray together are less likely to get into knockdown, drag-out fights. You jerk, you must be the Antichrist. You know those kind of fights. I think people who are willing to pray together are much less likely to somehow threaten divorce or to get a divorce. I think people that are praying together are much less likely to walk away and say, in effect, I want nothing to do with this relationship. It's pretty hard to pray together with somebody and fight. It's pretty hard to pray together with somebody and commit adultery. It's pretty hard to pray with somebody and somehow walk away from the marriage. So I want you to see this. Because according to the Family Life Survey, here's what they found. As they did a survey of thousands of Christian couples, here's what they found. Less than 8% of couples pray together regularly. Less than 8%. That surprised you. It surprised me a little bit. Less than 8%. But here's the good stat I want you to see. Of those couples that do, less than 1% get a divorce. So according to the world, the standard is about 50-50. Got about a 50-50 shot of not getting a divorce. But if you pray together, simply, regularly, then that stat drops all the way down to about 1%. That's why Jesus in the New Testament said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to seek first the kingdom of God and all of its righteousness. And then all of those things that you worry about, your marriage, everything else, I'll take care of those. I'll add those to you as well, as long as you are seeking after me first. Now, I know what's happening in your mind right now. Some of you want to argue with me, don't you? You want to say, well, Jeff, you don't know my spouse. You don't know my husband. You don't know my wife. We've tried this before. It just doesn't work. We fight too much. We don't get along. Remember what I said at the beginning? I want you to draw a line in the sand today and say, from this day forward. Yeah, but Jeff, no, from this day forward, we're going to do this in a different fashion. Doesn't matter what has happened in the past. Doesn't matter your failure. Doesn't matter your shortcomings. Doesn't matter you don't know how to do it. From this day forward, we are going to do it in a different fashion. We are going to seek God. We're going to honor God. It may be different than the people around us. It may be a little bit uncomfortable, but from this day forward, God, we're going to do the very thing that you called us to do, and I'm convinced it's going to make a difference in every single relationship that you have. Now, I want to close by showing you a picture of one of my favorite couples. This is Myrna and Buzz Buzzacom. His real name is Arnold, but nobody's ever used it. Even his wife called him Buzz. But when I arrived some 20 years ago, I got to be honest with you, these were one of my favorite people. I know pastors are not supposed to have favorites. I just love these two. And Buzz was actually diagnosed with cancer, so I'd make my way over to his house, and we'd often visit. They'd ask me to come about 10 a.m. Myrna would have the coffee pot on. She put treats on the table. And then the two of them would just spend a moment praying together. Usually it was Buzz that prayed. But then they would walk together as a couple, and I would listen to them and learn from them. And I remember saying to him, Buzz, can you tell me a little bit about your marriage? He said, listen, Jeff, to be quite honest with you, we didn't do everything right. In fact, I made a lot of mistakes. She made a lot of mistakes. But here's the one thing we got right. We prayed together. We made a commitment that the two of us were going to come before God and we were going to pray together. Wasn't that long, and Buzz died. But as I watched her care for him, I thought, man, this is exactly how a relationship should be. They were only given about 54 years together before Buzz died. But as they brought a hospital bed into the living room and as he was beginning to pass away, I watched how Myrna tended to him with incredible love, with incredible care. She put washcloths on his head to keep him cool, and all of the family gathered together because they had this strong family unit, all because this couple came together and they prayed together. I'll never forget his words, Jeff, we didn't do everything right. So I'm thinking to myself, listen, I haven't done everything right. But the one thing we did was we prayed together. Today, we're going to gather together around the communion table, and I just want to encourage you to do it a little bit differently today. If you're sitting alongside of your spouse, in all honesty, I'd like you to just reach out and hold on to their hand for a moment. And I want you to come before the Lord together. And I want you to take some time in doing the very thing we do around the communion table, just confessing, God, here's where we've blown it in our marriage, and just confess your own sin. God, here's what I've done wrong as a husband. Here's what I've done wrong as a wife. And we're going to confess before God. And then we're going to say in the presence of the Lord today, but God, from this day forward, knowing you have forgiven my past, from this day forward, we're going to commit ourselves to our number one. And we're going to pursue you with fuller, deeper devotion, trusting that you're going to bless in some incredible ways. So couples, join hands together. I'm going to give you a moment of silent prayer, and then I'm going to lead you in prayer together. Let's pray. Father, thank you for every single couple that is gathered here together today. And thank you for your broken body, for your shed blood, for the forgiveness of sin, the forgiveness of our past. And Father, no matter our relational status, we just come and we confess what we've done wrong. But Father, more than anything, we want to seek your power. We want to seek your strength to be able to do it right. So Father, we're declaring before you today, from this day forward, we want to honor and we want to please you. So meet with us in this holy, precious time, I pray. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you were encouraged by today's talk, check out our Sunnybrook Unscripted podcast, where we talk real life, answer questions, and take a deeper practical look at the topics we talk about on a Sunday morning. For other talks, videos, and live gatherings, rate us and hit subscribe on iTunes and Spotify. Download the Sunnybrook Church app or visit us online at sunnybrookchurch.org. And again, thanks for listening to the Sunnybrook Community Church podcast.